Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 1, the first three stanzas. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seed. Psalter 1, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, the first 23 verses. But before we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 13, the first 23 verses. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in their heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, thus far.
congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, as we again open our sinful lips to pray unto thee, give us then a little impression of who thou art, because we read in thy word of those seraphims that are about thy throne and cover their feet and cover their faces before thee and cry, Holy, holy, holy. And they are holy beings, and we are sinful. Lord, give them that we may come before thee in true humility, and may we confess, Lord, our sins unto thee, that we are sinful, that our hearts are desperately wicked, and that by nature we're only enemies. We are like those men that we heard in this morning beside the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, enemies, ungodly, dead in sins and trespasses. Lord, we need thy grace. We need that work of the Holy Spirit, that renewing of our hearts. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in this evening that thou would gather with us, and especially as we consider what true saving faith is, that gift that thou plants in the hearts of unworthy sinners. Oh, may we all then be given to examine ourselves. Do we have faith? Do we have that true saving faith, that gift of God? Because without faith we will perish, because that faith connects unto that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, tonight, that thou would come with thy presence, with thy Holy Spirit, and search us and try us, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in that way of everlasting life. And Lord, thou knowest those, maybe there's some among us, who confess to have faith, but it's not true saving faith. Lord, if this is so, we beg thee that thou would show them tonight through thy word by thy Spirit. Because, Lord, we read in thy word of those who will come before that door and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us, expecting to enter in and to be forever sent away, forever lost. O Lord, we beg thee then, that thou would then awaken those who are yet upon false foundations, show them and give them that true repentance, that true sorrow for sin, and that true fleeing unto thee, that true life of that true saving faith. But remember also those who are recipients of thy grace, of that gift of faith, and those poor and needy sinners often tremble. Lord, what is it? Do I have that faith? They tremble and fear. It's only temporary. It's not true in saving. Oh, give then, Lord, tonight, that there may be that clear instruction of what that true and saving faith is. That faith that connects to that only Savior, thy dear Son, that Savior of sinners, that Savior who has everything for filthy, polluted, sinful wretches. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come with thy Holy Spirit and search us and teach us and lead us and guide us in that way of that most holy faith. And may we beg thee then that faith that thou hast planted in the hearts of thy dear people, that it may grow, and that they may live more in holiness to the honor, to the glory of thy name, that they may live in the world, but not of the world, that they may be a light upon this earth, that they may be the salt. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then give not only that planting of faith, but also that life of faith, the exercise of faith. Oh, we pray then, Lord, wilt thou teach us? Wilt thou guide us? Wilt thou lead us by thy word and spirit? We cannot trust our own hearts. We cannot trust what man says, but we can trust thy testimony, thy word that truly, clearly explains that life of true saving faith. Lord, we pray then, all those who do not have faith, Lord, that thou art a God of abundance of grace and mercy. Look upon them in thy mercy and give them that life of faith. Translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, and that they may be led to true repentance of all their sin, and that they may be drawn to that only Savior, to die to self, to find life in him, and that they may find more and more of their sinfulness, that it may drive them unto him, to search and to find and to seek him and all his mercies, to be covered by him, to be washed by him. Lord, remember then the whole congregation. Thou knowest each heart, every heart of every boy, of every girl, of every teenager, young people, adults, and older ones. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give, that thy kingdom may come, that many may be born again and brought into that fold under that one shepherd, that good shepherd, that shepherd who came to seek and to save sinners, that shepherd who came to fulfill the law for transgressors, that Lamb of God who came to satisfy the justice of God, that there may be food and drink, that there may be those blessings from above for poor and needy sinners. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would gather with us. Each time is a new time. We need thy presence. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit to listen, to hear, to understand, but also to surrender, to die from everything, to have that new life, but also to preach, Lord. Lord, we beg thee then, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also to hear, and that there may be those blessings for the honor and for the glory of thy most holy and worthy name. Lord, we pray that thou would remember then also those in this past week, especially her who had surgery, and thou hast made all things well, and she could also even gather with us today. Give her a thankful and a broken heart, but teach her also and all of us through all the callings of sicknesses of the body, of the mind, that we have that great disease, that disease of sin, and that we need that great physician, that only physician, that one who only can renew, to give life, but also to cleanse, to wash, and to make perfect and holy, and to bring into that eternal paradise. Oh, we ask thee, Lord, then, remember us all, and remember those also who have left the truth, who have, in thy goodness and mercy, been separated from the world, and who have received that name of a triune God upon their forehead, but who now live and walk in the world. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou then draw them, awaken them, draw them to thyself, back to thy word, and that they may again gather with thy people in thy house to hear thy word, and that thou would bless it richly. Remember those also in Bethany Care Home, also some from among us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember them, those who are yet living, without grace, close to death, humanly speaking. Oh, we pray, have mercy upon them and bless thy word. Bring them to that true repentance, but also to that true faith in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember also us as families. May we lay before thee also marriages, those who struggle, those who are difficulties, maybe even separated now. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give that there may be love, that there may be faithfulness, faithfulness to each other, but also to that promise that we have made unto thee, that we will care for each other in sickness and in health, and that we will not be separated, that we will live faithfully unto thee and to each other until death do us part. O Lord, have mercy and give help where it is needed. Remember us as parents. O help us to instruct our children in the fear of the Lord. Give parents, fathers, mothers a new heart, the fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that they may teach their children in the truths of thy precious word, that we may proclaim unto our children the wonderful works of God, not only of creation, of all thy works that we may read in thy word, but also especially of that wonderful work of salvation. Oh, may they hear it, Lord, that they may set their hope in thee. Lord, we live in difficult and dark and trying times, but thou art alive. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. O Lord, wilt thou then give that blessing upon the means of grace that we may use also in the education of our children? Lord, bless the education, that they would not only be prepared to live in this world, but that they may be prepared to leave this world. Care for their souls, Lord. Bless thy word. Give God-fearing parents. Give God-fearing teachers. And may thy kingdom come. And that children may be conquered by thy grace. And they cannot live in this world, but they long to serve thee, the true and only living God. Lord, remember also that teacher from Rehoboth Christian School who is, humanly speaking, dying. Lord, we pray, care for her, her husband, her family. Remember her for body and for soul. Lord, we ask that thou would remember all those among us with special cares and needs. Bless the means they may use. We think especially of Luke. Lord, care for him and bless what he may receive in these weeks, and help him, help his parents, and remember all those who have special cares and needs. Lord, we ask thee, look upon them in mercy. We pray and ask thee to remember also this nation, Canada, as the Lord willing, in a few weeks there will again be an election of the government. Oh, may we ask thee and beg thee, Lord, that thou would give a government, men, and maybe also women who have the fear of the Lord in their hearts, that long to serve and to govern this nation according to thy word. And may we ask thee, Lord, that we may have a government who cares for life from the moment of conception until natural death. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us of all those sins, of all that blood that has also been spilt, all those lives that have been murdered in the wombs of their mothers. Lord, that blood, thou seest it all. Have mercy upon us. Give repentance. Give respect for life. But also thou knowest the murder of those by euthanasia. Oh, we pray, Lord, have mercy on us and give, that we may see life is a gift of God, and that everyone from the moment of conception until death has been created in the image of God. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. But, Lord, we ask thee to especially remember us for the needs of our souls. Lord, bless thy word tonight. Give opening to preach, opening to hear, and give that there may be many errands and errs crying unto thee and praying and begging. Lord, give opening and bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that at the end of this day, we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was with us. Lord, pass us not by. Do not deal with us according to all our sins and iniquities, but look upon us through that precious blood, through that righteousness of thy Son. O Lord, have mercy on us. Cleanse us. Wash us of all our sins. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 308, the first four stanzas. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. Though nations fail thy power to own, yet thou dost reign, and thou alone. Psalter 308, the first four stanzas, and the collections for the church and for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, faith is a precious gift of God. Paul wrote this very clearly in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That gift of faith is very precious. Why is it precious? Because faith connects a poor, needy, guilty, filthy wretch with a rich Savior. Faith connects sinners with the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And faith is given to unworthy sinners. It's a gift of God's grace. And grace is to receive the opposite of what you deserve. We only deserve eternal condemnation. But by God's grace, sinners receive salvation. True saving faith is a gift of God. No man of himself has true saving faith. You and I of ourselves can only produce unbelief. Unbelief. And faith is necessary. Faith unites a sinner with Jesus Christ. We need that union with Jesus Christ. As we heard from the epistle of John, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Sinners are united to Jesus Christ by faith, by that gift of faith. And without saving faith in Jesus Christ, we will perish. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, famous or not famous. It doesn't matter if you can explain the whole Bible with your intellect. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, a man or a woman. Without faith, you and I will perish without that true saving faith in Jesus Christ, that only mediator, that only redeemer. So the question for you and me is, do I have true saving faith? Do I believe in that only Savior, Jesus Christ? Do we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Do you have faith? Do you know it's possible to have a type of faith and yet to be lost? Yes. It's possible to have a type of faith and yet to be lost. Children, older ones, do you know that the devils themselves have faith and they are not saved? You say, is that really true? Well, the Lord says so in his Bible, in the Word of God, James 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So the question for you and me tonight, do I have true saving faith? The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, O ye a little faith. But they had faith. And he said to that woman of Canaan, great is that thy faith. Can he say of you and of me that we have faith? He sees our hearts. He knows whether we have faith or not. So true saving faith, what is it? What is it not? And what is that life of true saving faith? The Word of God explains that. And the Heidelberg Catechism gives a summary in Lord's Day 7. And then those articles that follow in those following Lord's Days, all about what that true and saving faith is and what that object of true saving faith is. But tonight, let us read what follows in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 7, question and answer 21, 22, and 23. You can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 34. So, question and answer 21. What is true faith? The answer: true faith is not only a certain knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Question answer 22. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us, and then we read those 12 articles which was read earlier in this service. So the theme tonight is true saving faith. And from the Bible, and with the guide of the Heidelberg Catechism, we will try to explain in the first thought what is not true saving faith. Because there is other types of faith, but it's not true saving faith. And the second thought, what is true saving faith? What is it? What's the difference between temporary faith and true saving faith? And many of God's people can struggle because it can be so close, and yet it is distinctly different. And then in the third thought, a few thoughts of what is that experience? What is that living by faith? The theme, true saving faith. What is not true saving faith? What is true saving faith? Pardon me. And then what is the experience of true saving faith? The life, the exercise. So first, with the Lord's help, what is not true saving faith? Congregation, remember last week we spoke and we considered not everyone is saved. All perish in Adam. So we all have something in common. We all perished in Adam, and not everyone will be saved. We do not believe in universal redemption, and yet an innumerable multitude shall be saved by God's grace. What must happen to be saved? Well, we consider that God, in the moment of regeneration, plants faith in the heart. And then those recipients also have a life of faith, and they receive the benefits of Jesus Christ by faith. So there's the planting of faith, and there's the life of faith, true saving faith. And they receive Christ and all his benefits by faith. What then is true saving faith? And maybe you say, why do we need to get so detailed? Why do we need to get so critical about faith? Faith is faith. Why do we need to make it so difficult? Just believe. And if you have faith, it's true saving faith. But congregation, in the word of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about different types of faith. And I think of those whom we read in Matthew 7 at that great day of days will cry, Lord, Lord, open unto us. They will expect to enter in. They thought they had true saving faith. But the Lord will respond to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So there is a type of faith, but it's not true saving faith. We need to examine ourselves. Do you have true saving faith? And because there's thousands on this earth, I say this with sadness, who expect, who confess faith, and I heard them also in Turia, a man who said he had such great faith, and he was bragging about his faith, but a few months later, he was living completely in the world, soaked in pornography, left it all, left his wife, horrible, living. He didn't have true saving faith. I'm afraid that many count intellectual knowledge and education of Christianity as true saving faith without having true saving faith. They have big heads, but cold, hard rock of a heart. So what is true faith? Let me begin this evening by explaining what it is not. What is it not? We read true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word. Yes, true faith has knowledge. It's built upon the knowledge, the truth of God's word. But it is not only a certain knowledge. True faith is not only in the head, an intellectual understanding of many things of the Bible, of understanding certain things, certain doctrines, certain truths. Many mistake intellectual understanding as true saving faith. They have much knowledge in their head, but it doesn't impact their heart and their life in any way. For example, they confess faith, but they can continue in sin. Knowing sin, they continue living in sin. There's no repentance. There's no fleeing. There's no crucifying the flesh. A type of faith. What is this type of faith that's in the head but nothing in the heart? It's all about the mind, knowledge, historical faith. That's a type of faith. And I think we all may say we all have some historical faith because we have much knowledge. We know much truths of the Bible. We know truths from Genesis to Revelation. We know the truth of creation. Who would dare stand up tonight and say, I believe in evolution? None of us. And we all know we are sinners. Here, we all know God is that Almighty God. He's a triune God, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can say it all with our heads and many more truths. But has it ever had an effect upon your heart? A heart? They have a knowledge, but it's without feelings, experiences in their hearts. All cold facts. Hearing the law, hearing the truths, not moved in anywhere, never trembling, never becoming guilty, hearing the gospel, no joy at all, no sorrow over sin. It's all facts. No joy in Jesus Christ at all. It's all in the head. Do you want an example? King Agrippa. Children, remember Paul was speaking to King Agrippa? And he said, as we read in Acts 26, verse 27 through 28, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Paul said to him, I know thou believest. Agrippa knew the Old Testament. He knew something of the Christian faith. He knew the prophets. He knew the Psalms. But who's King Agrippa? Who is he? What did he confess? Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I know thou believest. I know thou believest. Agrippa had a faith, but it was only historical faith. Nothing touched his heart. Almost a Christian. And almost a Christian is altogether lost, congregation. You don't need to be almost. You need to be altogether. Altogether a lost sinner and needing altogether an only Savior for your soul for reconciliation with God. So this is one type of faith. Historical faith. What is another type of faith? Temporary faith. Faith that's not only in the head, but it has a little touch in the emotions. Emotions. They can have many emotions. I met many people like that in Trier that went to Pentecostal churches and they went there and they were moved up and emotionally stirred up. But it became nothing. It became empty. It was only emotional, a little stirring up. But it was empty, dead, no true life. It was all based on feelings being stirred up with some kind of emotion, with some music, or even with some truths of the Bible, of the gospel. But they were lacking the depth of the truth of what? It's only in their emotions. They were lacking the depth of the truth of who they are before God. Lack of knowledge of a holy God and that they are sin. True faith includes knowledge. And it includes feelings. But it's not only the feelings. Only in the feelings is only temporary faith. For example, we read this in the parable that was read to you from Matthew. But I want to read to you something from Mark, verse 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That's impressive. I've seen them, I've heard them, so full of joy, so sure they're saved, and have no root in themselves, and so endure, but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They only have gladness and joy. They're missing something. What are they missing? Teenagers, young people, older, what are they missing? It is joy. In that true saving faith, there is joy. There is profound gladness. But it goes together with something else. What is it? Sorrow over sin. Guilt before a holy God. And Luther said, listen, if you listen to those and they only have joy and gladness, if all you hear from their heart and their life and their experience is all just pleasant things, you know what he said? Do not approve. Because the true work of the Holy Spirit, he said, there's two clear markers. Godly sorrow and joy. Not just joy. They have no depth. It hasn't been broken up. They haven't become lost. And I'll give you a little example. I was a farmer. And one time, we had a field. We worked it up. We tilled it. We planted grass. And that field was lower. Our back field on our farm. And you could stand on that hill, and you could look down on that big field. Grass had been planted. And I remember standing there with my father, and looking over that field. A few days later, the soil was moist, the grass was planted, and the sun, it was warm. And there you saw in one area a patch, little green sprouts. And I said, wow, look at that. That's going to be the best part of the field. And my dad smiled and he said, no, son, that's going to be the worst part of the field. Why? He knew in his wisdom that soil was thin and underneath was the rocky soil, and that was the worst part of the whole field because soon it died, it withered. It had no depth of root. Temporary faith, emotions, but no depth of true conviction of sin, of sorrow. So historical faith, temporary faith. And I also remember a man in Turia. He came to church, and I remember him sitting in the back left corner of church. And I preached on 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, that this is a worthy acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that man sat there, and his eyes was glued on me. And I could say I felt he was listening to every single word. And then he came to the Bible studies, participated, active. It looked so real. I was so happy he was there. COVID came. And then we sent those messages out. And I also sent them to him. And afterward, while I didn't hear anything from him anymore, and I wondered, was he living? Had he died? And a few months later, I met him in Tarija. And I asked him, how is it? And he came to church one more time. But you know what his problem was? He had suffered in the time of COVID. And he said, "Is that God?" And he turned away and he never came to church again. It seemed so real, so much life, temporary. But now what about another type of faith? There's historical, temporary, also miraculous. What type of a faith is that? That's believing that you can do a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ, or that God can do a miracle in you. A faith. But it's all connected to do with miracles. There's no need for a savior for sinners, only for healing. And yes, God's people have historical faith, but not only. They're afraid it's only temporary, and they also do have miraculous faith. They do believe, as those 10 lepers, that one leper also that went back to God to glorify him. He had true saving faith, he had historical faith, and he had also miraculous faith. But he also had true saving faith. True saving faith brings back, not to glory in self, as what's been done for you or what you can do, but it comes back to the feet of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, do you have faith? Or is it only historical and nothing more? Or is it temporary, a little bit in the motions, nothing more? Is it only miraculous? Or is it true saving faith? And so we come to our second thought. Our first, what is not true saving faith? Now, what is true saving faith? What is the difference between temporary and true saving faith? What is that faith that connects a poor sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the difference? And maybe that's your struggle. I fear I only have temporary faith. Is it true saving faith? That faith that the Lord plants in the heart of a sinner. So what's the difference? First we'll consider the difference, and then we'll come more to what true saving faith. What's the difference? Temporary faith may last for a while, or for longer, or for years. But it comes to an end. It even can end in their death, but it comes to an end. It comes to an end. The world, the person at a time under afflictions, sickness, or persecutions goes back to the world. Their heart has not been captured by God's grace. They don't endure. They don't have that faith, that endurance in them. We read in Matthew 10, verse 22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." But those with true saving faith cannot let go. Even in the depth of all the afflictions and all the cares and needs, as Job, he could not let God go, although he suffered so immensely. And we think of those martyrs being persecuted. Yes, it was God's grace that held them through, but they also could not let go. Temporary faith. In persecution, it strengthens their faith. Yes, it strengthens their faith. It draws them nearer to him. The Lord upholds them, but it strengthens their faith. But those with temporary faith flee and go back to the world. Temporary faith is usually marked by a rapid growth, as we heard in the parables. With a non-joy accepted, with gladness. And you say, "Ah, but I know a case. Zacchaeus. He had joy immediately." But what do we read about Zacchaeus? We also read about repentance of his sin. He didn't only have joy. And this morning we heard of that man on the cross. In a few hours, how the Lord worked very powerfully and wonderfully, and the Lord is free in the life of one and another. But temporary faith is usually marked with a rapid joy in Jesus, but no depth of being convicted of sin, no broken heart. Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, no depth of the conviction of sin, of being a lost sinner. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Temporary faith, not true saving faith. Saving faith. The Lord usually, I say, as our forefathers say, works gradually. And he breaks, strips of everything of self, conviction of sin in their whole being, in their thoughts, in their words, in their deeds. And he brings them to that only Savior as a lost, guilty, hell-worthy, unrighteous sinner to seek everything only in Jesus Christ. What's another difference between temporary faith and true saving faith? Remember in that parable of all those different types of soil? Those three first types of soil, there was no fruit. But the last soil produced fruit. True saving faith produces true fruit. Historical faith, there's no fruit. In only temporary faith, there's no fruit. In miraculous faith only, there is no fruit. There's no sorrow for sin. There's no true repentance. There's no hungering, thirsting after righteousness. There's no godly fear. There's no faith in Jesus Christ. There's no living in love. There's no longing to please the Lord for his honor, for his glory. But that true saving faith produces fruit. Matthew 13, verse 23. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So what's the difference? There's those fruits of the Spirit in true saving faith, but not in temporary. Temporary faith is usually only concerned about what? Self. It's all about self. That's a great difference. In true saving faith, it's not only about self, no, in the first place, it's about God. God's honor, God's glory, that I sin against God, that I sin against the Holy God. And he is worthy that I serve him with my whole being. That's not in that true, in that temporary faith. They're concerned about self, all about self. But what's the key fundamental difference between historical, miraculous, and temporary faith with true saving faith? What's the fundamental difference? There's one key difference. That regeneration, that new life, that regeneration of the whole being, of the heart, the mind, the affections, by that power of the Holy Spirit, that heart is renewed, that will is broken. Historical faith is only in the mind. Temporary faith is only in the emotions, with some thoughts in the mind. And miraculous faith is only about deeds that I could do or the Lord has done for me. But true saving faith, there's new life. It's a new being. It's a new one who's made spiritually alive. There's fruits. Sorrow for sin, hatred for sin, hungering for thirsting and righteous, longing to live for the glory of God. And there's an urgent need for a Savior for what? To be brought back to God. That he becomes the way of salvation, the way of reconciliation as a guilty sinner with a holy God. My friend, do you have true saving faith? Do you know of sorrow for sin? Is there a hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Is there a longing to live according to the commandments of God because he has poured love in your heart and there's love back for him to serve him, to love him, to obey all those commandments and to love your neighbor as yourself? There's a longing for holiness in that true and saving faith. And their whole life, they long to glorify God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. My friend, do you have faith? Do you have true saving faith? Has your life changed? Is there a bitterness for sin? And is there a hungering for thirsting after righteousness? And has there come an urgent need for one to stand in your place as a guilty, lost sinner? Are you unrighteous in self and need one to cover you with his righteousness? Are you polluted and you need to be cleansed? And is there one that you see who has everything you need, not only to be covered with his righteousness, but also to make you clean, that you can serve God in your whole being? True faith is not only, but it is a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word. It's a knowing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and this is life eternal, to know God and Jesus Christ, knowing. They know it. Not only here, they know it here. It's an intimate word in the Bible. It's a knowing. And when God says, you are a sinner, they say, amen, that's me. When God says, you are worthy of eternal condemnation, they say, that's me. It's just. Like the thief on the cross, they say, amen. And when God says, I can have nothing to do with you because of all your sin and all your iniquities, you must be righteous and you're unrighteous, they say, amen. And when he says, you are worthy of eternal punishment because of all your sins and who you remain to be, they say, amen. But there's also more. They learn by God's grace that way of salvation revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to believe the record of God, not only about self, but also of that second person in the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they read it, and it comes with power, and that becomes sweet. And they say, amen. That's the truth. That's him. I need him. I need a savior. He becomes the way, the truth, and the life. He becomes everything for them. They believe God's testimony about self. Yes, that's also part of true saving faith. But they also believe the testimony of God's word about the Lord Jesus Christ. They confess what they believe in their hearts. As Peter, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that goes together also with the confession of Paul, O wretched man that I am. My friend, do you have faith? Do you know these true marks of faith? What is true faith? Knowledge of the truth, of God's word, of self, of God, of Jesus Christ, and also of that only way of salvation in Jesus Christ. But it also includes an assent to the truth, to say an amen with your heart, to agree of what God says. But it also is, what else? An assured confidence. Let's read that answer again. And also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, not only to others, but to me also. Remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the merits sake of Christ's merits. And so notice in this answer, true faith is worked by the Holy Spirit. Worked by how? By the gospel, by the precious gospel. And it's worked not only ahead, in the heart. So the Holy Spirit applies the law to strip of everything, to make guilty. But the Holy Spirit also uses the gospel, that healing, that balm in Gilead, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it's not only for others, but it's also for me an assured confidence that it's only, not by works, only by grace upon the merits of Christ. And oh, when the Holy Spirit applies that, that it's by grace alone, all upon the merits of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ, then there comes that joy. So faith is believing who I am, but also by the work of the Holy Spirit, that same work of the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin, also an assured confidence in the gospel that we read in the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is that only Savior, that Savior of sinners, of whom I am chief. An assured confidence. What is that? Is it that they always are assured that I am saved, that Jesus Christ is my Savior? No. But one thing is in all their hearts, that are taught and led by the Holy Spirit, they're assured it's not in me. And what a work the Holy Spirit needs to do to strip us from everything, that we cannot find anything in self, in anything in the way of the law, in anything in any other way, but it's only an assured confidence that is only in Jesus Christ, that in Him, freely given by God's grace, not by the works, but by grace, received, imputed upon their account for the merits of Jesus Christ. They believe that there is forgiveness of sins in another. They're assured that's in Him. But they also long to know that personally He is my Savior, that my sins are also forgiven. Maybe they cannot say it by the assurance of the Holy Spirit, but they are assured it's in Him, and they're assured they need it. I think of Ruth. Ruth, you know her? She came onto that field of Boaz. At that one time, at that mealtime, and I say it in my own words, He gave to her, He fed her. And she saw Him as that one who provided everything for her, as that poor needy one. And that's a picture of that true saving faith being fed and provided by another, by a benefactor. And yet she wasn't married to Him. But later she was married to Him. Then she saw Him and knew Him later. In that work of faith, in that life, they see Him as a benefactor. It's all in Him. But then to be married to Him, to know that I belong unto Him, that He is that one, that I belong to Him. He's my Savior. But that's that life of continual grace. We're dying to self, where He becomes everything. And so, do you need faith? You may ask God for that true gift of true saving faith. And what will happen? You will become lost. You will become guilty before a holy God. And there will be an urgency in your heart as He strips you of everything, that you become unrighteous, filthy, lost, polluted, not only what you have all done, but also who you remain to be, stripped to lead you to that only Savior, Jesus Christ, to need Him as your righteousness, to be righteous before God through Him, but also to be cleansed, to be led to that cross, to see that blood, to see that place where God the Father could say, satisfied, to be led, to rest at that foot of the cross, looking to Him, that only Savior, that faith that looks outside of self unto Him, that faith that cries to Him, like that thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Do you know something of this true saving faith? Is this your faith? Or is it only historical? Is it only temporary? Is it only miraculous? Or is it true saving faith? Death and self, but life in Christ. Let's sing now. Psalter 92. 92 stanzas 1, 3, and 5. 92, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Be thou my helper in this strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy. Amid the conflict, O my Lord, thy precious promise let me hear, the faithful reassuring word, I am thy Savior, do not fear. 92, stanzas 1, 3, and 5, standing.
Thank you.
true saving faith, what it is not. We've heard a few words from the Word of God. What is not that true saving faith? We heard a little explanation, because there's much more. Yet some of those truths, those true experiences of what is that true saving faith. Now, what is that life? What is that exercise of faith? What is the activity, that daily living with that faith? What is it? Can they always say, oh, I have faith. Look at my faith. Can they just pull faith out of their pockets when they need it? And yes, they should live every day by faith. Because that faith that looks to God, that looks to that only Savior and rests in Him every day brings glory to His name. And unbelief is sin. But those Christians with that true saving faith, it's a life of a battle. A battle between unbelief and faith. They're like that father with that lunatic boy. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Do you understand this? Do you understand this living through all the experience? Lord, it's true. By thy grace, I believe. But Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. That life of faith is a life of battle, because there's flesh and there's the spirit. There's that life of grace and the life of the old man. It's a battle. It's a wrestling every day with the wickedness of their own hearts and flesh. And there's that longing to live for the glory of God, to obey Him. And they dishonor God with their unbelief. I think of Abraham, called a friend of God. God promised him that his seed be like those stars in heaven. And Abraham didn't consider who he was. He didn't consider Sarah. He didn't go to reasoning. But he believed in the word, the promise of God. He gave glory to God. But that same man with that grace, Sarah didn't have a child. 1 year, 2 years, another year. And then what did he do? He married Hagar. He took things in his own hands. In unbelief, he would help God. The friend of God, a recipient of grace, came into unbelief. I think of David, that the word of God says, a man after God's own heart. And with that faith in God, he could kill that giant Goliath. And he captured him. He was victorious in that faith of God. But then Saul pursued him. And pursued him. And then he came to that place, I will perish. God promised he would be a king. And you, child of God, maybe there was times you could rejoice. God spoke through his word. Or he gave you such a rich assurance in the preaching of the gospel. Or sitting at the sacrament of the Holy Supper. Or seeing that water in baptism. Your soul was comforted. You could go home with joy. But then afflictions came. Your flesh again. And then you came into darkness. That man this morning on the cross, he heard such a rich promise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then he had to experience darkness. The Lord Jesus died. He heard him. It is finished. And he heard him, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And it was also darkness. A parallel in the life of God's children. They can have such a rich promise. But then there can come such darkness. Such darkness in their life. And that faith struggles. Struggles. And yet, they're called in all the darkness to rest and trust on that faithful, covenant-keeping word of that faithful Jehovah, of that faithful Savior. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, to ever. But to truly live in that way, what a life, what a struggle. Do you know that? Do you know that struggle of faith with all that reasoning, with all the unbelief, yet to be able to rest on that word of God? And I think of Paul, Romans 7, a life of faith, that activity, that battle with the flesh that clings. And yet he came to that place through all those battles. I thank God. I thank God for what? I thank God through Jesus Christ. And so that true saving faith, that's a life of battle, ups and downs, there's one place to rest. And that place to rest is upon the covenant faithfulness keeping promise of Jehovah, and upon that only Savior, upon his finished work. The Lord willing, I hope to preach on that message of Jesus Christ, it is finished, on Good Friday. But then to rest on that finished work, that's a blessed place to be. But to really be there, to be there, that's another thing. But we wait to Friday to hear more. But that life of the true faith, what is it? A few other thoughts. They cannot live in sin anymore. Remember those that said, Lord, Lord, and he said, I do not know you. Why? Because you're workers of iniquity. They were still living in sin. But those with true saving faith, they begin to see what sin is. Their eyes are opened like that prodigal son. Far away in that place with the pigs, with all the rags and living in sin. He couldn't stay there no more. He thought of the Father's house, and he had to leave that place of sin because he wanted that favor of his Father. And so he left. And all those with true saving faith must leave all those places of sin. They can't live there because that's not the place to have favor of God. And so those with true saving faith become guilty, become lost, and flee from sin. But where do they flee to? Where are they drawn to? Where are they brought to by that work of the Holy Spirit? To that only Savior. Because in him is life, and them is death. And so that's a little a bit about that life of faith. Everything in self is death. But in him is life. And oh, then to live in him, daily abiding in him. And they often think, I will perish. Because they see their flesh. They see all their unbelief also. And they think they will perish. But they will not. Why? Because he, that one who planted that faith, also is that interceding high priest at the right hand of the Father, is praying that that faith fail not. There's the solid ground. There's the hope in that one at the eternal Father, at the right hand of him, that mediator who's praying, who gives faith and who prays that they're kept by the faith, as Peter learned. He had to learn a lesson, a very humbling lesson. It wasn't in him. But it was in that Savior, and he proclaimed, kept by the power of grace, by that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Recipients of grace. He who began in you, who planted that faith, and who gives the exercise of faith, not only that you die and everything to yourself, but that you're drawn to that only Savior. He holds you. He has you in his hands. And none, also not your unbelief, not your flesh, not your sin, not all that wickedness that remains in you, will ever cause you to fall out, to be plucked out of the faithful hands of that Almighty God. But he will bring it to a perfect end. That true saving faith ends where? In glory with him. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would be the after preacher, that thou would apply thy word richly by the power of the Holy Spirit. May it have been clear, that sinners may have searched themselves, and that thy Holy Spirit may teach them whether they have that true saving faith, or whether their faith is no better than that faith that thou hast written in thy word of the devils. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou then remember thy dear people? Give them a little comfort, a little assurance that thou knowest of them, that they have that faith, that they belong to thee, to that they belong to that only Savior. Lord, speak to their souls and say, I am thy salvation, that they may have that comfort and that joy, not only that sorrow of sin. Keep us in this week. Help in all the visits, in the Bible study. Bring us again here also on Good Friday to remember the death of thy Son. O Lord, wilt thou give opening to preach of that precious word of him who said, it is finished. We ask, Lord, keep us in this week. Keep us from an unprepared death. And may we meditate upon thy word that we heard in thy house today, and that we would not allow that the thorns would choke it out, or that the birds of prey would pluck it away. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 162, 1 and 2. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved. My honor is secure with God, my Savior he is known. My refuge and my rock of strength are found in God alone. 162, stanzas 1 and 2. congregation, one announcement, one correction for the bulletin. The service this Good Friday, the Lord willing, will be at 7 o'clock, not 7:30. So 7 o'clock on Friday, the Lord willing. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.